Well, how are you today, citizen lobbyist? I know you're staying warm out there, so.
It is chilly outside today, but they say snow's on the way, so that's probably a good thing for the weekend skiers.
So, having done that, identify that it is really, really cold outside, let's look back over the year and also look forward toward a 2018 and see if we can come up with, well, what kind of situation we have. What's the situation as far as our memory is concerned? Can you take a moment? I know listeners may have to do this as well, and say 2017, January. At that point, we'll do the easy stuff, which is to say that we had a budget that the city of Palmer had already passed in the previous December of 2016, and they were working on it. I say it's easy because I think what happens with the city of Palmer is they focus pretty much on a kind of a continuation budget, just tentatively maybe looking out and saying, okay, what kind of small changes do we make in something which seems to be working? This past year, leading into December when they approved their budget, they pretty much did that. So when we speak to the city manager of Palmer or the mayor, they point out there were some big projects. This isn't to say that the city hasn't done some big stuff, because in 2017, if you remember, there was a lot of work that was being finished on the airport, which amounted to somewhere in the neighborhood of $10 million. Much of that money, however, came from federal funds, matched with some from the city.
That's right. Yeah, they do sort of all funnel into that last meeting of the year. I guess we're jumping ahead a little bit, but there is some change. There was a change on the city council.
Oh, that's right. Okay, let's go to that, because that was a big one. That was a big one.
That was in October of this year. The way City of Palmer does it is sort of unlike everybody else in that, number one, they don't have any term limits like other cities do. So anybody can continue to run. There is no term to stop them from running. And that's exactly what Brad Hansen did. I think he's been on the council some almost 20 years now.
Right.
But the other thing that Palmer does differently is they take the top two vote getters. They don't pit one against the other in districts. So there were three candidates this year: Linda Combs, Brad Hansen, who were the incumbents, and they were brought on with two challengers, Kenny Linden and Sabrina Combs, and there was a change there. So Linda Combs did lose her seat, and Sabrina Combs, her niece, took over on the city council seat. So that was Mr. Hansen, sort of narrowly got by in another election, and took the seat there in October. So a little bit of difference. It was the first time, of course, that Sabrina Combs had looked at the budget. She'd probably looked at it, but had to contemplate it and decide on it. But it went pretty smoothly from there on out. Not a lot of big things in front of them, but they have a whole year ahead of them. So,
right.
I guess one of the big things for the city, too, we'd have to talk about was the change in who was going to take over the dispatch services.
Ah, yes. Okay. As we start thinking about things, we begin realizing, yes, although even with a place like Palmer, which seems sort of placid, relaxed, and so on, there are changes happening. And the dispatch center was a big deal.
It was a big deal. They've had it for many, many years, servicing both the Matthew Borough and their own dispatch for the Palmer Police. And through a series of things, the Matthew Borough dispatch was moved to the city of Wasilla to take over dispatch services, which made things a little simpler in Palmer, but also was quite a bit of a budget shortfall, but they seem to have rallied around it. I didn't hear of any layoffs. There were some dispatchers that moved over to Wasilla. In fact, I just saw the city of Palmer advertising for a dispatcher not very long ago. So things seem to be percolating. I live in downtown Palmer. I didn't see any difference in services at all. Same good service I've always gotten from the city of Palmer. Anything to add to that?
No, I think you're right in pointing to the movement of a portion of the dispatch services over to Wasilla was accompanied by a movement of a number of the costs associated with it. So it's safe to say Well, it wasn't exactly a net zero change in terms of income and expenditure. It was adapted to very, very well. So from a service standpoint, we noticed very little in any difference. And the city has moved on. And the bigger thing about that, just using it as a look toward 2018, of course, is that there has been and we'll be talking more about this when we turn to the borough, both the city of Wasilla and the city of Palmer have their own police department and departments, and they do arguably a good job within the cities. And that's not the case, and will be a much discussed item, I think, going to 2018 for the areas outside the cities where those police work.
So, yeah, they'll have a series of meetings coming up later in the spring to kind of take that on at the request of Assemblyman Sykes, who still is quite concerned about the amount of crime outside the quarry areas.
So just finishing up the city of Palmer, there are two things that are going to continue on that have been worked on and maybe not have been noticed by listeners. One is the improvements to the wastewater treatment facility. That has been ongoing. Unless you've been over in the area where it's located south of the city, you may have not noticed things. But that will have a major completion point coming next year, and is an important infrastructure piece. But more noticeable, something that a listener may have noticed if they've driven the Glen Highway, is that those boarded up buildings along the Glen that were purchased as part of the expansion, now you're going to be actually seeing this next spring and summer into the fall construction that will be right in the heart of Palmer, where Palmer Wasilla Highway hits the Glen Highway and going south. And that's going to be a big deal in 2018. It's been developing in 2017, but you haven't seen the trucks and all the disruption yet. That will happen soon.
Right, and that'll run right into the main interchange into town, so everybody will feel that coming their way.
Okay, let's switch to the Borough Assembly. We mentioned that there was a change on the Palmer City Council. There was also a change on the Borough Assembly, because all the familiar faces are mostly there, but the representative on the Assembly from Wasilla has changed, timed out, and Ted Leonard has taken that seat, and want to comment at all about that?
Yeah, that happened in the October election, too. Assemblyman Steve Culligan termed out after 6 years, and Ted Leonard took his place. New to local government, of course, his wife, Colleen Leonard Sullivan, is in the House. He will represent the district in Wasilla on the local level here at the Assembly. Much different style than Mr. Culligan, much seemingly more congenial, and been sort of quiet, but that's sort of normal at the very beginning. Seems to be somebody who is quite thoughtful, but can be decisive. So I think it'll be interesting to see how, as he gets more comfortable with his position, how that goes.
Right. Now, the borough itself, the assembly, of course, did pass a budget in 2017. In what typically happens is they're sort of caught in between two other forces. One is the state legislature, which took a long time to complete its budget. And then also the school district, which receives, in some sense, a pass-through of monies from the state through the borough to the school district, with some additional monies provided from local funds. And that was a struggle for focus, ultimately completed. But it's in process right now, because once again, the legislature will be going back to Juneau in January, and the borough is still going to be faced with the same kind of issues.
Right. Yeah, so I kind of thought about it a little bit, Mike, knowing we were going to talk about this. We can stay on the school district for a second here, and that is just that there was a big change at the school district in that we got a new superintendent last year. Superintendent Gene Stone abruptly resigned from his position, and Monica Goyad, who beginning served as interim superintendent, was quickly appointed in the position to have, and has completely different style and seems to be working hard at it. And the district is seems to be doing pretty well. It is a struggle with the making all the monies come together, and talk about being last in line. They are. They've been struggling with watching the legislature struggle, not being able to come up with any forecasts for funding, living year to year, and it's probably hardest on them because they're the last to actually know what their funding is. And they have brought together with the borough some talk of different types of funding, one in the form of a sales tax, which continues to be talked about. But again, it's the bottom line is trying to make ends meet with less and less money every year. They are negotiating with all of their groups of workers, too, unions right now. So it could be an interesting year coming forth on that as those talks continue.
Right, right. So I guess...
Can we go back to the borough?
Yeah, let's go back to the borough and finish up with the borough. The borough, and in fact, this also brings us back toward not only the city of Palmer, city of Wasilla. The borough has this little thing, dealing with plastic bags. And I wanted to make sure that was included here because it's been the case in 2017 that the borough appears to be waiting for the city of Wasilla to act. And the city of Palmer certainly has stated, the mayor, manager, others have stated they're waiting to see what the city of Wasilla does in regard to banning or dealing with paper, plastic bags. And then the borough is faced with saying, okay, now what do we do should the city's ban, how do we approach this in the greater borough area? So that's something that is still undone, as I remember. The city of Wasilla still hasn't made its final decision.
Right. Yeah, we'll have to watch that one. He's still working on that one. The things that rose to the top for me, Mike, as I looked over it was, boy, we had a lot of meetings about marijuana. Lots and lots of meetings about marijuana and trying to get local code right, and still depending on the state trying to get their in right on that. They still finally have come to some conclusion in that, at least for now. The board hasn't met for 6 months, and they've dissolved the committee that was appointed by former Mayor DeVilbiss. 34 members, crazy amount of people. And they expect for some tweaks to be done, but they are making a little revenue from it. I think around $60,000 last time I saw,
right?
With some potential out there. So that's that. We had a lot of meetings. It seemed like we had a lot of meetings now and again about things like trapping at the port. There was a lot of question, a lot of talk about the port. There will continue to be as those last news articles came in about the cost of the repairs. We finally got rid of the ferry, Mike. Can you believe that?
Right, right.
We talked about that endlessly, about that. We also talked, the Fishhook Community Council passed their comp plan, so at least one community got their comp plan through, so that was good. Anything else you can think of that we talked about endlessly? Oh, the wastewater treatment plant.
Oh.
That's their big project.
Yeah, yeah, but nowhere near a beginning, and sometimes there's a lot of planning that goes into these projects. We've spoken about the roads, for example, and DOT has worked on it and all the rest of it, even the planning, a lot of planning that went in and design work for Palmer's wastewater treatment plant. But it feels that the borough has not yet quite gotten momentum on this. Every so often it comes up, but it doesn't seem to be moving. Is that your impression?
Yeah, they do seem to get trapped around the wheel on certain things and go back and forth, and that is one of them. There is some talk now. I know I've been, since an article in the ADN this week, it's going to be interesting to see where this shakes out. But there is, the governor did put in his budget some money for commuter rail.
Right, I saw that.
flooding. And there are some strong opinions about that, of course. The people at DOT, which whose job is to build roads, are, of course, not fond of it. And some legislature do. But I've heard a lot of comments about woulda, coulda, shoulda this week, and all the money we put into the port could have been used for commuter rail and really solved a lot of the issues on the Glen Highway. I drove in yesterday, Mike, and either there were a lot of people returning packages or I couldn't believe how much traffic at 8 o'clock in the morning. And I go in pretty frequently, and normally you see a bit of a lag during when school's out. But, boy, yesterday, both ways, there was a lot of traffic on that road. So they haven't really studied it for, I think, 16 years. So it'll be interesting to see what the legislature does with that money. There is, he's suggesting, I think the governor, that the remaining money out of the Kinnickarn Bridge and some other spots be part of that funding for a new study about it. So we'll see where that goes. It could be exciting development for the valley.
Okay, right. Okay. Well, let's turn our view toward the school board. No changes on that school board in contrast to the Borough Assembly and the Palmer City Council.
Right. Well, and that could happen this year. You know, there's I think there were 2 seats up last year. There should be 3 seats up this year. And also there'll be 2 seats up or 3 seats up on the Borough Assembly this year, too. So this is really the year that you should see some change there. Maybe, maybe not. The school board has stayed steady for quite some time now.
Well, the other thing about it is, of course, this is 2018 we're talking about. So while this past fall was relatively quiet, those people that were running pretty much had the entire stage, not a lot of other things on the ballot. But in 2018, we have a lot of focus nationally and the statewide elections. So I'm thinking that this may either draw a lot more people to the polls that will also be voting for those seats that you referenced, and that could make a big change. Or it just the general either enthusiasm or tiredness about elections will affect what's happening. So we note that if you have another set of elections in the year that you're voting for the assembly, the council, and the school board, there's different numbers, and that may play out with some more changes.
Well, and there is, yeah, it can go either way, Mike. Now, of course, we should talk that Anchorage, our neighbors to the south, are going to have their first mail-in election this year. So that could be interesting just to see what I know there are the boroughs looking at that. There are a lot of communities that are looking to see how that goes, because definitely in this time of being able to save money, that's a money saver. When they're also looking to replace a bunch of voting machines, that could really cut down costs on that. So that'll be something to watch. But, you know, it does heighten awareness. It gets people more aware. But sometimes these very noisy state races, the governor will be up, a lot of the House members, a few senators. You kind of get some of those local elections get drowned out by that. It's more expensive to campaign those years. So it'll be interesting to see if people, and it's also, I think this is the first year by then, they'll have kicked in the automatic voter in with the PFD.
Yes, that's something we'll be talking about. But just a reminder to folks that when you register for your PFD this year, the difference is that you have to basically opt out. You will be registered unless you opt out. There's quite a bit of interesting detail around that. But that process might just increase and clean up the voter rolls and change the dynamic in some of those races that are fairly close.
Yeah, that really could happen.
Okay. So we should at least nod in the direction of the legislature. Even though we've been focused on meetings here in the Valley, the legislature's activities do affect what happens here. In this past year, we know that the legislature seemed to meet forever and ever and ever. And with all of that, the basic focus of great attention, and we've mentioned the issues before, have to do with both the budget and the justice system in terms of legislation for criminal activity?
Yeah, well, did you hear my nod? My noddy in my head hit the desk here.
Yeah, I heard that. I hope you didn't. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, well, I don't know. It's an election year, Mike. Anything can happen. It's been a very frustrating watch of this legislature and the lack of actual legislation that came out of it. And what they did, they've ended up turning back and trying to repeal. So my favorite subject, of course, is not only the big piece, elephant in the room, which is the revenue piece that they continue to ignore about doing anything with, but also is the smoke-free workplace bill that is now in front of them for the sixth year, I think, this year.
Right.
Has passed all committees. It's been, it's up to chairman of the House Judiciary to get it heard, Matt Clayman. That will be the last committee of referral, and if so, it goes through the rules, and if Representative Gabrielle Ledoux does her job, she'll put it on the floor, and we'll have at least have that out of this last session, because it's already passed the Senate twice. But they do get wrapped around. It seems like you've got the House working really diligently, running from room to room, trying to find answers and actually really working, and the Senate sort of laying back and watching the House do a lot of running around and just no communication between the two bodies. It's been very tough to watch these last couple of years. You would think in an election year, they'll have to have something to bring home. It's not like the old days, Mike, when you could bring home all the ornaments on the tree with special projects. There hasn't been a capital budget for, this will be the third year, I think.
Right.
And that makes it hard for people to run home for elections and keep talking about cutting, cutting, cutting. And while we're watching things in the community when all those projects not getting done and the infrastructure continue to crumble. So I don't know that they'll be forced into a, you know, any type of a decision to do anything different. I'm not confident about that at all, but
well,
no matter what, it'll be another session.
Yeah, and there's one other topic that we have not yet addressed here, and that has to do with a resignation by a member of the House who in this cultural shift with much discussion about harassment, we have a new representative who was accused and is resigning. That's in 2017. The question, of course, still is out there as more and more people in political and other offices are faced with accusers and are being either let go or resigning on their own. Whether any more will happen is, of mm-hmm. course, unfortunate for everyone concerned.
But,
yeah. So,
yeah, we'll have to, that could play out during the elections, which we certainly have saw in Alabama, those things come out. So I don't think we've seen the final shoe drop on that deal yet.
Okay. Well, citizen lobbyist, we have covered a lot of ground, starting out by looking back and saying, yeah, there are lots of things that happened that were significant and set the stage for 2018. Any last comments before we finish up?
Not really, except to say, Mike, when you let me know we were going to be talking about the best, the last year, I kind of drew a blank thinking, what did happen? I really had to kind of look at some of my notes to kind of recall what happened. So some of those traumatic times that you've been through that you think, oh, this is the worst, you just simply just kind of wash away. Maybe it's just that we're all getting older, Mike, but, you know, I'm always kind of glad to wash out the new year and all the energy from the last year, all the turmoil and you know, guardedly optimistic it'll be better next year.
Okay.
So happy New Year to everybody and be safe.
Yeah. Take care now. Bye-bye.